hell. I was guilty as anybody could ever be. Just like Brother Paul said, I was the chiefest among sinners. But God said, when I pled guilty, you're free. He put the blood on it, and when it was presented, it covered my sins. Thank God. He don't see my guilt anymore when it's covered by the blood. Chapter 2 of 1 John says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if a man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank God, I got a lawyer this morning that's better than F. Lee Bailey ever thought about being. Or better than anybody maybe you've ever had to use in case you've ever had to go to court, whether somebody sues you. Now, they can sue you over anything. They could probably take me to court over some of the things I've said about sin, but that's all right. If they take me, we'll go and I use the Word of God, and then we'll be found all right because it's true. But there's people out here, but we've got an advocate with the Father if we sin. We've got Jesus Christ seated at the right hand this morning. And when we're standing in that room and we're guilty as guilty can be, the case is presented. God sees the Son's blood, and we're no longer guilty. Jesus Christ the righteous, not Brad Wooten the righteous. I have no righteousness. It's all His filthy rags. But Jesus' righteousness is what makes the inward man perfect. Thank God this flesh will fail. It's not perfect. It got tired yesterday. It's still tired today, but it's all right. God gave me the energy. When you tap into the power supply of God, you don't get tired. The body will, but that inward man, he's ready to go. Like a racehorse. You ever seen them in the state, in the thing, in the gate? Boy, they're ready to go. They've been fed that hot feed. Oh yeah, let's go. We all be that way as Christians. Too many times we're like the ones after the race. Oh yeah. Oh. Anyway, we have an advocate with the Father, and He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Even in people that still going out here and willfully just going against Him and trying to take the Bible and take God out of everything. There's a song out, we still in God we still trust is the name of the song. Do we really? Do we really in God still do we trust? If we're not going to stand behind it, do we need to have it in front of on our front of our money if we're not going to commit to it as a nation? Why use His name in vain if you want to know what I think about it? If we're not going to be a nation under God, why do we have Him on our money? Let's be a nation under God, bound together by His love, proclaiming Him throughout the world that people might be saved. That they can know the advocate that we have as Christians. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now this is His commandments, not His suggestions. In Washington, D.C., they're wanting to do away with what's right by the Word of God. They write laws, they change laws, they legalize this, they make this illegal, and all these different things going on. Still yet, they have the Ten Commandments on the outsides of their building. We need them wrote upon the tablets of the heart. There's too much writing that's been wrote that's not being listened to. There's things that's in God's Word that we have called of none effect because we've seared our hearts and our conscience. We forgot the advocate we've got with the Father. We forgot the power that He has to bestow to His children. When He fills your cup to running over, thank God for it. Don't get embarrassed. If you shed a tear, give God the glory because your heart's still soft enough that there's some moisture that'll come out of those dry bones. And hereby we do know them, know that we, those that know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. We can't talk out both sides of our mouth. God give us His commandments, not His suggestions. We need to follow them. We need to teach our kids the Ten Commandments. We need to teach them the rules and the order that God has established in His Word. What governments are based upon. But let me tell you, He is a government that has been set up that will never be brought down. And we are going to be into His allegiance one way or another. Every knee will bow and recognize Him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Are you a child of His or will you be on the ones that are turned away? But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Are we in him this morning, church? Are we a bride? Are we the body of Christ this morning? Do we remember our advocate whenever we make mistakes and we have failures? And we all will do that. Don't think if you make a mistake in your life as a Christian that that God is going to throw you away. He don't do that. He'll mold you and shape you and give you strength that you don't make that same mistake if you rely on him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Even as he walked. Do we strive to walk in the footsteps of Christ this morning? Right here in God's word, he tells us, he that saith he abide in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Let that sink in. Our walk of life, where does our footsteps take us? Where do they take us? Do we walk as Christ walked? Now those are some big steps that I can't feel, but I can step in between these steps and keep going on the same path and follow after him. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. We don't need new books. We don't need new laws. We don't need new sayings. What we need is to get back to the old ways of God that he established from the beginning, that was good then, good today, and it'll be good tomorrow. We need to get back to the old paths and walk therein. We need to get the dust off the Bibles. We need to move to higher ground. We need to remember when we were lost and pray and thank God that we're not like we were and take us to what we can be. Don't get satisfied in the middle, just floating along with life. From the beginning, in the beginning, it wasn't where the moon and the earth collided and caused a cosmic dust cloud and some specks of dust hit the water and things started to grow and we eventually evolved into what we are now. Why haven't we gone further? They have no explanation for that. Why haven't we got to where we don't get the common cold? Why haven't we not built the fences up that when we mash a finger, it don't hurt anymore? It's because that's not God's plan. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The true light now shineth, Jesus Christ. The darkness is past. There was a time when sin was here, when grace wasn't present, that God's Spirit and God's Son hadn't came yet to the earth to be upon the earth to bring grace and mercy to mankind. There was a time when they were believing in faith that the Messiah would come. But God's grace has been here and still here today. He's still saving through grace, through faith, that we are saved. The darkness is past. There is a hope. There is a light that's shining if we'll see it. And the light is shining because it is good, because it is the light of Christ. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. Are we in darkness? Do we have a hatred for someone this morning to the point that it has put us in darkness? Friend, you need to come to the light. Because in Christ there was no hatred. If you'll remember the Roman soldiers as they whipped him with the cat of nine tails, he didn't have hate against them, still his love. As they took him to the cross of Calvary, as they had plucked out his beard, as they had placed a crown of thorns upon his head till the blood ran from his brow, we get a splinter. We think we're going to die. But imagine what he went through. But still yet he loved them. Not hatred toward them, but love. And as those big Roman soldiers pulled them arms out on that cross, got that nail and that hammer, No hatred, only love. As they stood him up, and as the cross fell in the hole, as his back was against that rugged cross, as the splinters embedded in his skin, no hatred. For those that claim to be atheists, says there is no God, he still don't have hatred. He still wants to save them, show him that he's real. For those that say that God's dead, he still loves them. Wants to save them. Because he's the light. He knows what his salvation means if mankind will only heed it. If mankind will only heed it. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now it's hard to be a light if we're hating. And we can dislike a lot of things. I dislike a lot of things. We all got our dislikes, we got our likes. But when it comes down to hatred that we won't speak to one another, I've been in a church where the people had hatred for one another. Oh, they'd turn their backs when they went down the aisle. They wouldn't do like y'all do when you come together and everybody shake hands one another. They wouldn't have shook hands if it had killed them. That's not what God wants in his children. He wants us to abide in the light, and by abiding in the light, we don't have an occasion of stumbling if we're in the light and we love our brothers. We might not like what they do, but we can still love our brothers and sisters. No occasion of stumbling. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now listen, there's many places that's in darkness this morning. There's many places called church that's in darkness this morning because they're not walking in the light. They're walking contrary to the Word of God. They're doing things that God's Word speaks against, allowing things to go on that God said was an abomination. Not because the Baptists believe it is, it's because God said it was. And we can't dabble in the things of the world and please man and please God. We can't serve two masters. Over and over again in God's Word, He tells us that. But do we have blinded eyes this morning? Do we need the salve of God made of the spittle of the ground as He did with the clay and mixed it and anointed the man's eyes with it and told him to go wash? And when he did, his sight was given him. I'm going to tell you that I learned to see more things of God when I was blind than before I was blinded. You depend on Him. You know He's got a purpose, and when He opens your eyes, just like Paul on the Damascus Road, when he was Saul and he was blinded, he could see much better after God got in contact with him and he got in contact with God. I write unto you as little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. God has loved us, and when we surrender and confess to Him our sin, He forgives them for His name's sake. He covers them. When mercy walked in, when Jesus walked in the earth that day, when He come as that little babe, He's no longer a little babe in the manger. We portray Him at Christmas time, but He's no longer there. No longer that little babe. Thank God He came that way. He's no longer the 33 and a third year old preacher that was going around teaching the new way of believing in God's Son, that your sins may be forgiven you, that you must be born again. He's no longer that man. He's no longer on the cross of Calvary. He's no longer in a tomb. He's a risen Savior. Seated at the right hand, my advocate, your advocate. The politicians in Washington's advocate, if they'd get in contact with Him, they like their big law degrees, but they need to get to know the one that I know, that He can plead their cause before them. They play games and think they have answers, but God truly has the answer. He forgives us for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, some of them out there yesterday. Now Holden thinks he's a little monkey, and he has to wrestle people and jump on them and do things. And he grabbed a hold of Robert, I think, trying to wrestle. I think he beat Holden 3 times out of 3.
Without handcuffs.
Or mace or anything. But how do you overcome? Sometimes in our physical body we think we can overcome great odds. Holden thought he could. They were stacked against him. He's still growing. He puts a little size on that frame, finally puts some meat on there. He might be harder to deal with. But anyway, we do the same thing. We'll see something that's in our life that's stacked against us because Satan's going to do that. We think we'll handle it on our own. But if we're walking in the light, we realize very quickly, I can't handle this on my own. I need to go to my Father and allow Him to handle it. Allow Him to handle it. To be able to overcome the wicked one, which is Satan. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Children, I want you to remember that. It is okay to have things of this world, but do not love the things of this world. There's things that you need to get through life with, and there's a lot of wants that you'll end up having, but don't let them become the object of your love. Let your faith be in Christ Jesus. Let your faith be in God the Father and what He's able to do, and love the things of that world, of the spiritual world, not this carnal world that we're in. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When we put objects before we put God, that's when we sin. That's when we fail. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. They will attack you in TV commercials. You've got to have this new thing. You've got to have that new. This four-wheeler is better than that four-wheeler because it's got one more horsepower. This gun's better than that gun because it'll shoot 10 feet further. I've seen some of you shoot. It wouldn't matter if it shot 100 foot further. This car will drive, it's got 200 miles an hour on the speed limit, on the speedometer. Speed limit's still 55 most places. You can't run that thing out there. You do, you'll be getting a ticket. You'll get to see Robert and some of his friends. And like you said yesterday, that car gets awful big in your rearview mirror. It may look little when you pass it, but it gets a lot bigger. They appeal to our sense of having. Well, you've got this little house, you need a bigger house to show everybody what you've got. And then you get the bigger house and you're worried to death. They're trying to keep it clean and keep the maintenance up on it, and you got more rooms and you got people, and you don't know what to do with it, and it gets real big, and you got a wing to yourself to where you have to have an intercom to talk to the other end of the house. Sounds kind of wasteful. Heaven don't have no intercom system. We're just going to be able to hear God when He speaks, everywhere He's at. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth for a season. No, it says forever. Forever. But the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. Now, what's the will of God? That all men should be saved. That all men should come into subjection to Him. That all men should worship and praise Him. Because He gives us the choice to. Not because He says we have to. But He said, here I am. I love you. I have a home prepared. If you want it, you can have it. Receive me. And you'll have a key to the kingdom. Key to the kingdom. Little children, it is not the last time, and you have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. That spirit's here today. So it's more important now than it ever has been. The spirit's been here ever since before Christ came. There was spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist was here when Christ himself was walking upon the earth. After he ascended back to the Father, the spirit of Antichrist was still here. And it's lasted all this time because Satan does not want people turning to Christ. So his spirit is working hard to separate us from the Father and from his love. But once you have committed yourself to Christ's hands, to the blood of Jesus, there's nothing that can separate you from His love. Well, I've done a lot of bad things, preacher. God knows all about them. And one of the hardest things you'll do is forgive yourself for not trusting God. He said He wouldn't give up on you. Won't kick you to the curb just because you make a mistake. He said, I love you. This morning he's saying, I'm your advocate. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, pleading my cause and my case. Mercy walked in. The blood was applied, and I was forgiven. Not only me, but each and every one that's in here this morning. If you're here lost, Jesus Christ loves you. He said, I want to be your advocate. I want to be the one that goes before God the Father, the judge, the righteous judge of all the earth, and say, that's one of our children. They need our help. They're coming to me for salvation, that I may plead their cause before you, Father. Will you come this morning? As we get a song of invitation prepared, everyone stand to your feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed this morning. No one looking over the congregation but myself and the Father. And He's looking down on your heart. Will you be honest with yourself and with God this morning? Are you lost and don't know Him in the free pardon of sin? If you've never been to the altar and confessed to Jesus that you wanted Him to be your Savior, if you've never opened your heart to Him and asked Him to come in, would you like to this morning? Would you like to? Just lift that hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'd like to be saved this morning. Pray for me that I'll just be faithful and surrender to Jesus. Would there be one anywhere? Preacher, I've had to have my advocate go before the Father many times. For me, I'd just like to thank Him this morning. Would you just raise your hand and say, I'd just like to thank the Lord for being my advocate this morning. And going before God for me. God bless the hands that's going up. I've had to use Him many times as my advocate. We'll continue to have to use Him for my advocate till I draw my last breath. And the best thing about it, He never sends me a bill. He never says I owe Him anything more than just trusting Him to be my Savior. Friends, maybe you've got a need here this morning. You'd like to bring it to the altar and talk it over with God. It's level at His feet. Just don't have to be an uphill battle. If you'll step out and come to Jesus this morning and lay it at His feet at His altar, He'll wrap His arms of love around you. He'll not condemn you, but He'll forgive you. He'll strengthen you. He will answer prayers. Will you come? As she continues to play softly, as we stand just for a few more moments, will you come? Will you come?